That feels better. Some of you just needed a little love this morning. That feels better. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Problems, Problems. King Hezekiah, some of you that know your Bibles and the Old Testament, he was a good king, great king. But he had health problems. And the prophet Isaiah came to him and told him to get his house in order. Told him, you're going to die. And he was a good king, a godly king. Daniel, young man, dedicated to the Lord. But he wouldn't pay homage to King Nebuchadnezzar. He wouldn't bow down. Because of that, he was thrown in the lion's den. Daniel was a man of God, a young man of God. The Apostle Peter was preaching the word of God, and they threw him in prison. Man of God, who they threw in prison, all three of them, doing good, doing right, but they still had problems. And I know in ministry, in the Christian life, I know we want this blessed life, and I believe the best life is the Christian life. Do you believe that? But it's still life. It's still on this side. And because sin is in the world, we can't get rid of problems because we can't control everybody. And we will experience problems. And as we live in this life, if we don't put problems in their perspective, if we don't figure out a way to deal with problems, we will be mixed up and messed up in this life because we're not going to get rid of problems. And at some point in our lives, we will have family problems if we don't already have them. Family problems come in all shapes and sizes. They come in the form of children problems, spouse problems, in-law, outlaw problems. Yeah, they come in all shapes and sizes, and some of you can testify. Some of us can testify. We'll have work-related problems. Yeah, on your job, you'll have an employee or an employer that will give you the blues if they haven't already. Something will happen. They will issue a law, a policy on your job that will cause you some issues. And it's inevitable that it happens. We will have some, unless you born in the Rockefeller family, you're going to have some financial problems. If you don't already have some financial problems. And sometimes they're avoidable and sometimes they are not. But we have these money problems. If you live long enough, you're going to have some health problems. Yeah. And you just, I tell you, these bodies were not made to stay here forever. And every time you turn on the TV, somebody trying to fix a health problem, and then you fix that problem, then another problem happens. Happens with our health. And the scripture would tell us, listen to this passage. And I saw it's some kind of deal. We've heard it before in the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 2. This is what the scripture would tell us. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials of various problems. He says, now count it all joy. And sometimes you hear that and it's like, hold on, what does that mean? Why does the Bible tell us to count it all joy when we experience, knowing this in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance when we're going through issues, we're going through trials, if we deal with them in the right way, they will make us better. Oh, Lord have mercy. You see, the person that should value money the most, the person that should appreciate money the most is the person who has been broke the most. If you don't know broke, you don't appreciate that. See, that's why it's dangerous if we give our kids everything. They have no appreciation of money and how you get it and where it comes from. They haven't had any hard times. And it's hard for them to appreciate money because they don't know the other side of money. Yeah. He says this in verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result or its complete work so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Lord, help us to understand that. And then problems, if you don't watch out, see, not only will we have problems, but problems multiply. Seems like they come in bunches. You know, your air-conditioned compressor go out. Then the stove go out. And some of us can relate to it as issues, things that we say when it rains, it pours. Somebody barely made it here this morning because you just didn't feel like coming because you're dealing with so many issues. Some problems are brought on by us. Now, we don't like to say that. And sometimes we don't like to admit that. Then some problems just show up at our door. And notice this. One of the ways we must understand that we are not the only. Sometimes we isolate ourselves. I know nobody not going through what I'm going through. I know any. Well, what are you talking about? Everybody got problems. Yeah. Anybody? And some problems just show. You ever woke up and somebody stole your identity? Yeah, they call it identity theft. You just going along and you're going to buy something in the store and somebody charged up charges. You knew nothing about it. They just did it. Some people even take that person. They just did it to me. Oh, they'll do it to anybody. And anything happens. But how does God want Christians to respond to problems? How does God want us to respond? I wish I had an extraordinary, long, complicated answer that you might think that's so wise that I know that's the answer. But God gives us the answer to dealing with problems. He gives it to us. And listen to Jonah. Go to Jonah, the Old Testament, if you will. And some of you know about Jonah, who Jonah was. I don't have time to read the whole story, but Jonah was a man of God. He was a preacher who God told him in chapter 1 of Jonah. He told him to go down to Nineveh and I want you to preach to these evil folks. And I want you to preach to them. And Jonah just straight out, stone right, disobeyed God. Jonah got him a ticket on a boat and went to Tarshish the opposite way and said, I'm not. He said he was going, but he lied and did not go. Just totally disobey God. And I have to say this first because we have to put problems in perspective. I want to take this out of context. Sometimes problems come because we just disobey God. And when we know the problem is us, is on us, is up to us and nobody else to initiate the solving of that problem. And look at what Jonah did. Our first response. And I believe this is our first response, even when the problem is not our fault. Sometimes when the problem is not our fault, we blame everybody else. We blame other people, and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. But that's not the response to have to an issue that's going on in your life, even when it's out of your control. Now, Jonah is in Shonah panic trouble. He is in a wreck. He is in the mouth of a fish. And look what he did in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed. Everybody say pray. I knew you were going to say that, Brother Gary, to pray. Well, why don't we pray? Why do we blame everybody? Why is the first response sometimes the first response? Our first response is downright depression. We get down on ourselves. We start blaming everybody. We go into ourselves. But Jonah, although he was in the fish, he prayed to God. Lord, have mercy. Listen to the prayer he prayed, though. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. Somebody in here this morning is in the belly of the fish, not literally, but you're in the belly of something. And he said, I call out of my distress to the Lord. And if problems don't make you pray, I don't know what's going to make you pray. You know, some people, and I know when we preach these sermons, I don't want you to, please don't take it personal unless it's personal. And see, you see this now. He's praying in distress. And some folks fight God so much, they are so proud, they won't even pray when they're in distress. And that ought to humble you. Sometimes some things ought to make you drop to your knees. You out of control. You don't have the answers. Now, sometimes we respond in a panic. If this was one time that Jonah needed to panic, this was a good time to panic. And sometimes he's in the mouth of a fish. Suppose Jonah just, whoa, Lord, I don't know what to do, and just went to hitting on the fish. Somebody, I'll tell you what, if that happened to me, I'm going to be hitting something. Well, Jonah recognized his issues, and he started praying to God. He called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. Notice this, and he answered me. God answered his prayer. I cried for help from the death of Sheol, and you heard my voice, for you has cast me into the deep. It was God who cast him into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your... If you got blood in you, if you're still living, there's always hope. And as a child of God, if there's life in you, I don't care what you have done. I don't care what somebody else says. I don't care how people write you off. With God, if there is life in you, there is hope in you as a child of God. You must remember that. You can't turn to people when you're in this kind of trouble. You can only turn to God, because folks, sometimes they'll write you off. Sometimes they won't say it, but they'll act like it. And now, this is not any kind of praying, though. See, we're talking about praying. This is not now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Now, how do you think Jonah was praying? He said he prayed in his distress. Listen to these adjectives. He cried. In his despair, he cried to God. This is no time to be proud. Yeah, he's nasty. He's white. He's dirty. And he prays this sincere prayer. He says, I know it was you, Lord, that expelled me from your sight. Then it says, nevertheless, I knew it. I knew I was wrong. I knew I did wrong. But I still pray to you. Yeah, I still pray. So don't ever get so down on yourself that you say, you don't even pray to God, because I know God not going to hear my prayer. Yeah. See, where there's life, there's hope. And see, some of us need to get some stress off of our lives. Some of us need to see, guilt is from the devil. That kind of guilt. God wants us to have godly sorrow, but God's kind of sorrow leads to repentance. It leads to a changed mind. The devil's kind of sorrow will make you feel guilty and stay away from the church, stay away from church people, don't want nobody to pray for me, go in a hole by yourself and walla, walla, walla. Stay there. Stay down. Don't talk to anybody, especially don't talk to God. And somebody, I just believe somebody this morning need to be praying to God. Amen. Yes, one of those, see, he's in the fish, can't release himself. You know, you having some family issues, welcome to the club. Amen. You don't have to amen. Yeah, you having some wife issues, some husband issues, some children issues. Problems. Yeah, you can handle it a few ways. Some people just leave. Yeah, some people just, I'm tired of it and just leave. Yeah, that's one way to handle it. Yeah. Some people take matters in their own hand and do some harm to themselves or the other person. You see that all the time. Well, we're talking to those who are seeking God's will. The first thing the Christian should do is pray to God. Listen, don't pray these mad prayers. I'm not praying for that. I'm not praying for him. He should have came home last night. I'm not praying for him. Maybe he should have come home last night. But shouldn't a Christian pray for him anyway? Pray for me. Pray for myself. Lord, help me. Help, you know, you have children. You raise your children. You try to teach them what to do, what's right. And children will still do what's wrong, won't they? Parents, raise your hand if you ever. That's a scripture that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord for this. Parents, this is not the children, not none of the children. Parents, raise your hands if you ever lied to your parents when you were coming up. Raise your hand if you ever lied to your parents. I want the children to see this. Amen. Now, how are you going to hold your children to a standard that they never do nothing wrong and you just give up on them? Yeah, sometimes you have to pray. You pray for them bad children. Yeah. Lord, I don't know what I need your help with this one. I don't know what he see. I don't know why he's hanging with Lord, my daughter, I don't know what she even see in this. Lord, please straighten the mind out. Please, Lord, I'm crying. Some stuff you had to get a God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're still here, God didn't give up on you. And you know you lied and snuck and did some things and you still here. So you ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. Amen, somebody? Yeah, you don't need to wish bad. See, if he stayed out all night, don't say, I hope he have a wreck. Yeah, see, we multiply our problems by not doing it God's way. And some things only God can fix. Now, he said, nevertheless, go back to Jonah. I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. Are you in this bad a shape? See, we stress ourselves out. Are you to the point of death? That is definitely a time to panic. But Jonas recognized only God. If I'm fixed, only God can do this. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth was with its bars were around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God, while I was fainting away. Jonah is in the depths of misery. Now, this is what gives me hope as a Christian, as a child of God. And Jonah was wrong. Jonah was a sinner. Jonah disobeyed God, but he had the sense enough to humble himself while he was in the pit to say, God, I need your help. And the beautiful thing about it is God heard his prayer. See, listen. That's why can't nobody tell me what to pray for. I don't care where you are, how low you go, God knows when the sincerity comes out of us. When you are really trying and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I need your help, Lord. And listen to the rest of this. I remembered while I was fainting away. And while I believe that we as Christians should not worry every day, casting our cares upon him, for he cared for you, and for us not to be anxious for anything, we shouldn't be walking around worrying about everything, but you can tell the truth about it. Sometimes as a Christian, we feel like fainting. We feel like giving up, but in that fainting moment, we still need to remember the Lord. God is able, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake the faith, forsake their faithfulness. Jonah recognized, listen, if you're doing something that's against God's will, he prayed. Now, he's praying for himself, and he recognized, listen, I'm giving up everything else now. He says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving that which I vowed I will. Jonah said, Lord, I'm ready to obey you now. I will pay. I know I was wrong. And I think that's what God is listening for when we pray. When we're in our problems, God wants to hear. God wants to see that you really want to do right. You want to be right. that you want to live right, that you want to obey him. God knows when we're playing games with him. That's the kind of prayer that God is looking for. Notice, when we're in trouble, when we're going through problems, God wants us to know, He says, salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up until the dry land. I know somebody wish God would release them from some of the issues they're going through right now. And maybe all he's waiting for is for you to humble your big head. Our foolishness, our stubbornness. You go to other counselors, won't you? See, I mean, I'm not against couples, individuals, singles going to seek wise counsel, but don't go to the counselor before you go to God. Yeah, I always seek God. That's the first step. That's the first step of a Christian. I need more than prayer. Well, you need prayer first. That's the first option. Whether it's your fault or not. Amen, somebody. Yeah, Jonah did that. Samuel said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. You remember King Hezekiah, I mentioned when Isaiah the prophet told him that he was going to die. Listen to what Hezekiah did in Isaiah 38, verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, the prophet, who gave him the bad news, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. And Hezekiah immediately, when Isaiah gave him that bad news, he immediately turned, he immediately started praying. Yeah, I was trying to picture in my mind how the prayer went. How the prayer went, you know, how he prayed. And, you know, how do you pray when you really need God to hear you? Well, I don't think you ask nobody how to pray. How do I need to pray? You just start talking. Yeah, you know, when you children giving you a fit, you go to the doctor and you get some bad news. Oh, Lord, you know I need you. Lord, Hezekiah started reciting all the things, Lord, all of the, I've been serving you, I've been doing your will, I've been doing your will, and he prayed, this is a sincere prayer, and he was talking to God, and I'm just thinking, you know, think about this, don't you understand that we can talk in a way, prayer is simply communicating to God, don't you understand that you have the power to make God move with your sincere prayer? If he knows you're sincere, Jonah, the Bible says, I cried. I wonder how he was crying. Was he crying out loud? Lord, you know I'm desperate. I need you. Yeah. And sometimes, see, God also knows when we're ashamed to pray to him. You know, I ain't, Brother Gary, that's fine. But I ain't doing all that. That's all right. You don't need him enough. Oh. I'm just not that emotional. You just don't not hurting bad enough. But this prayer. And that's why sometimes we miss the mark. God not does God want to hear a prayer? Lord, I'm just asking you this. I don't think you're gonna do it, but you could say that kind of prayer. You just wasting your breath. But Hezekiah prayed, and the Bible says. And he said, the Bible would say that thus said the Lord your God of Israel, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. He says, but behold, I will add 50. God granted his request. And Daniel, who was in the lion's den, God sent angels to deliver Daniel out of that lion's den. Peter, who was in prison, the church prayed for Peter, and hours later, they left him. He got out of jail. God can deliver. That was number one. Number one prayer is pray. Pray. Now, that's not complicated, but it's so meaningful. Number two, I think this is the last one. I'm not going to have time to do any more, but number two is to stay positive and stay faithful. Stay positive and stay faithful. What does it mean to stay positive, Brother Gill? You know what positive is. You know what negative is. See, our attitudes have a lot to do with how we handle problems. And you know, I was reading that, I believe it's, I think I wrote it down, the Bureau of Standards Washington, D.C., they measure things. When there is fog in the air, 7 blocks, 100 feet deep, 100 feet deep of fog, you know they say that it amounts to only a glass, a 12-ounce glass of water can create that much fog, the particles separating and into 60 billion million particles, and it causes that much fog. And a person can't see for blocks because of that little amount of water. And sometimes I believe we, as Christians, even as Christians, that we walk around in a fog, and we shouldn't let a cup full of troubles despair us to no end. And I'm not diminishing our issues and our problems, because my problem may not be big to you, but it's shown up big to me. And I'm not trying to diminish any problem, but you having a flat tire shouldn't mess up your whole day. Keep it in perspective. Grown-ups, raise your hand if you've ever had a flat tire before. Raise your hand. It's always inconvenient, isn't it? I don't care when it happens, it's always listen, church, expect a flat tire every now and then. And do not let a flat tire diminish your spiritual focus on God. Problems gonna happen. And we need to keep things in perspective. Some folks let small things destroy you in a bad mood all day. You don't speak to any. Don't speak to your coworkers. Don't speak to your friend. Don't speak to your husband, your wife, because you had a flat tire. And our influence for being a positive light for the Lord is diminished because we don't keep things in perspective. You get laid off on your job, that's a good vacation every now and then. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're working for a company, you can just about, you know, you're working for a company, it's almost unheard of that employees work on companies now for 30, 40, 50 years. I know it happens every now and then. It used to be more prevalent in the past, but now companies buy each other out, and they don't think about your name when they are selling the company. And so you're just getting your mind, I'm going to work, I'm going to do my job. If I don't have a job next week, pray, Lord, I'll just find me another job with God's help, because God can provide. Yes, we got to stay positive as Christians. The Bible even tells us to do so. Listen, in relationships. Now, listen to the folks who are not married yet. If you're not married yet and somebody break your heart, and it's probably going to happen, if it hadn't already happened, you need to say, thank God it happened before you got married. You might not understand that right now, but you'd rather it happen before you get married than find out that wasn't the one for you after you get married. Amen, somebody? Some of us, yeah, we lost it. That relationship that we thought was going to work, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to you. You just don't know it yet. And sometimes we put all of our souls and our feelings and our emotions and our focus into people. And people, church, don't you know people will let us down? Yes. We do it all the time. Yeah, you know, we got to keep things in perspective and understand that things are going to happen. You're going to lose things. You know, we get down about things. I remember my wife lost her diamond, her wedding band. This has been some years ago, and she was so worried. She lost the wedding band. I think she lost it when she was pregnant with one of our girls. I don't know which one of them was. Her hands kind of swelled, and she took it off in some kind of way. It fell somewhere. And she was, ooh, baby, I lost you. Scared to tell me, I lost my ring. I said, where you lose it, baby? Let's find it. We went looking for it. We couldn't find it. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we don't going to do nothing. I said, it's lost. She said, I know, but you... And I'm talking about I had to work. I had to put that ring on time. Some of you don't know what time is, but I had to put that ring on time to get that ring. And she said, well, baby, I'm so sorry. I said, don't be sorry. You just won't be getting another one for a little while. Woo! married. I said, why are you? She's supposed to have a ring. She didn't have a ring for about 11, 12 years. Now, she has one now. And I just said that. I'm no, bro, yeah, that's so insensitive. But she knew she was my wife. I knew she was my wife. I'm her husband. We didn't have the money. She didn't have a ring. And you said, Brooke, yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong to you, but we was all right. You can't let, hey, some things, keep them in perspective. Now, she has a ring right now, and because I was able to get her one, and thank God, but that didn't diminish our relationship and our love. Who made that law that you even have to have? I don't want to get nobody business, but I want to know, is it in the Bible? What I want to know. Have mercy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The brother read and you hear it. I'm going to end this lesson. Fixing our eyes, he's talking to those who are seeking the right relationship with God, those who are in Christ Jesus. We have a different focus. We have a if your focus is to have nirvana, paradise on earth, you will be left short. You won't hit that mark. You find people who making millions of dollars who missing that mark and are totally miserable. So we're fixing our, this helps us keep things in perspective. See, and sometimes situations, they get to the point where they are, you know this problem that you have, you know it's not going anywhere away anytime soon. But how is the Christian going to deal with an issue like this? When you have this kind of problem that I know is not going to change too soon. He said, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author, the originator, perfecter, the completer of our faith. Because he did it, of our faith. Who for the joy set before him. This is how Jesus did. This is how Jesus was able to deal with people talking about him and not laugh. See, when you go on your job and you're on your job and somebody leaning on you and you don't have the Lord and you don't have your mind in the right place, they keep leaning on you. You'll take a gun to work the next day and do something to them. Because I'm a Christian. And I've been on some jobs with some folk. That you wanted to do something about. But that's not an option for us as Christians. And some people do it because they think that that person is doing something to me and they don't do me like this and I don't know who they think they are. It's not about you all the time. And this is why Jesus was able to deal with it. He says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. It wasn't that he wanted to do it. He despised people talking about him and spitting on him and whipping on him. And he had the power to destroy all of them. And he despised it just as we despise when people misuse us. When people lie on us, when we go through situations that we know is out of our control, someone else is injecting upon us, and we want to do something about it. The scripture says, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he's not going through nothing right now. And while it's hard for us to see a lot of times, when we're going through some issues, our issues are certainly not as deep as what Jesus was going through. But you have to see past that. And if you wait long enough, if you have some patience, if I had time, I go all through. Patience is one of the things that we have to need to have as Christians when we're dealing. If you have some patience, God will take care of everything. God can remove that person that's leaning on you. That person, God can take you out of the belly of the fish in a moment, and you won't remember the pain anymore. And scripture says that he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He's not going to the cross again. He's not going to take any more despising, any more misusing, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And boy, I tell you what, life has a way of making you lose heart. Yeah, it has a way of making you lose heart. But if it's the problem is originated from me and what I'm doing, I need to humble myself, first of all, admit my faults and what my faults are. I need to pray and ask the Lord to forgive me. And then, Lord, help me, lead me, take me out of this. I need to do that myself. I have control over that. And if it's somebody else, I need to pray for them. I'm not praying harm on them, but I pray the Lord will penetrate their heart, do something to them. And if, Lord, if you don't do something to them, take me out of this situation. And leave it there. Leave it with God. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12. That was 2 and 3 that I read. But Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 tells us to run with endurance the race that's set before us. And see, to deal with problems in life, we got to have some stamina. He says run with the doers. And George Madison, this guy, this is what he wrote about this particular passage. And I love what he said. He said, we commonly associate patience with lying down. We think of it as an angel, as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid. Yet there is a patience that I believe to be even harder. The patient that can run, to lie down in the time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune implies a great strength, and it does. Sometimes we just have to be still and wait on God. But he says, I know of something that implies a strength that's greater still. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart and still run. Somebody leaning on you on your job, someone leaning you in a relationship, it's difficult to go. You still need to go to work. Don't allow them to stop you from doing your work. You work and be diligent and be a great example and keep doing your work. He says this. He says, to have a deep anguish in your spirit and still perform the daily task is a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience, but not in the sick bed, but in the street. To wait is hard, but to do it with good courage is even harder. For me to move, for me to be an example, for me to treat my spouse kind, though they might be mistreating me. That's harder. Problems, problems. We all have it in common. But we can live a godly life even in the face of the issues that we go through. And I will say this, is that it seems like sometimes problems affect us more than other times. You know, we go through cycles and go through changes, and sometimes things lean on us in a way that we just want to give up hope. Why are you preaching this lesson, Brother Gary? Because I've had so many people to call me and say to pray for me, Brother Gary, in this situation I'm going through, because I want to deal with it in a Christ-like way. And if you're here today and you're going through some struggles, first of all, know you're not by yourself. Second of all, have you taken your first option? Have you prayed? Now, I know Brother Gary, the elders, there are others that can pray for you. But if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you first need to go. See, God need to hear from you. Jonah couldn't get on the phone or the internet at the time he was in the fish and say, look, I need somebody. No, Jonah, if you're going to hear from God, you're going to do this one yourself. But I'm not articulate. I don't know what word. You know how to talk. If you are, you know what to say. You know when you need something, how to just simply say, God, I need you. Yeah, that's one you do yourself. Don't miss that. Don't skip that step. Secondly, raise your chin up. Yeah. You know, sometimes we want people to feel sorry. I'm not this. Sometimes we want others to see that we're sad. But you realize that other folk already had their problems. And now I know that only people that's really close to you, if they see you sad, they don't want to ask what's wrong, because they know they can't do anything about it. And some people don't even want to hear. In other words, we as Christians, we have this hope like no other. You don't have to go on your job and mope all the time. Yes. Let's be a light everywhere we go. and the love of Christ, our faith in God will deliver us from any issues, any problems that we are going through. Oh, yes, we need to be in prayer all the time. We need to stay positive, and we need to stay faithful to God. We need to stay faithful in our service, in our actions, in our words to God, that God will stay on our side through whatever issues we are going through. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, first of all, you need to be a child of God. You need to have God on your side. You come to him by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're here and you need to repent of your sins, repenting means turning from sin and turning to God. I tell you nay, but except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. You must confess with your mouth what your heart believe. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before God, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Who therefore shall deny me before me, and him will I deny before my God which is in heaven. If you're here today and you want to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can do that. And God will add you to his church that you can read about in the Bible. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. And I don't know about you, but if you die in your sins, the scriptures say, well, God is, you can't come. You need to do something about your sins. You need to do that today. And God is on your side. God has not promised us a bed of roses. Everything will fall down, that we won't have any problems or any issues. Oh, Lord, I wish I could tell you that, but that would be a lie if I said that to you today. But some of us are discouraged to the point that we are being ineffective for God. We're being ineffective parents, and we're being effective teachers and role models and people of God. And God wants us to glorify in him as we live this earth, that we can lead folk to him and not away from him. If you're here today and you want to come, if you're here today and you have a special prayer request, if you want to come down, we'll pray for you. If you want to speak to one of our elders, you can do that. Call them. Their numbers are in the bulletin. If you just need someone to talk to, and some of us need to come out of our shell. Don't allow the devil to take you away from the saints, but you come and fellowship with us, that we can strengthen one another as we go through some of our trials. And some of us, we might not be in a situation now, things are going good, but you just stay faithful to God, because something down the road is coming down the road that may turn your whole world, your whole life around. Then sometimes we just need to have compassion one for another and pray for one another. You here need to come to God. Would you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Wind and storm, clouds may rise, and strong winds may blow. Will and die till the world wherever I go, tell them that I found a Savior, and he so sweet, I know. I'm singing, he's sweet, I know. Oh, he's sweet, I know. And you know that dark clouds may rise, wind and storm winds may blow, but you know I I'll tell